Well, we're talking about David and his life and what he's been going through. Last week, we talked about David coming up to the front lines to feed his brothers, and he saw what they were facing in the form of Goliath. David didn't really know what was going on until he arrived. And when he arrived, he heard all the taunts that were coming toward his brothers as well as the whole nation of Israel. And the thing that David realized, and I think we want to look at this a different way today, is this was really a spiritual issue for the nation of Israel. Not so much, or not only, a physical issue. And when he realized that he knew he had to take action. Now remember last week we talked about God's people were all cowering in fear from an enemy that God had already told them they should be able to beat. If he was a true God, like he said, and he was their God, and he promised them victory over their enemies. If you read through Deuteronomy, he promised them victory every time. They should have no problem beating them, and they should not be cowering in fear. But because they did not realize the spiritual component in this battle, that's why they were fearful. They were only looking at it from the natural. In this instant, God's name is being ridiculed by the enemy. And because they didn't realize that, they didn't realize it was a spiritual problem, they were losing. David understood the nature of the fight, and he promised them victory because he was going to go in and vindicate God's name. He was going to get the win. And we ended with David rejecting the use of Saul's equipment. And the reason he did that is because if he had used Saul's equipment, Saul would have gotten partial, if not all, the credit. So David went in knowing what he knew, using only his own abilities, and trusting God, he went in to the fight. So now we wind up at 1 Samuel 17:39. When he refuses the equipment, he says, "I cannot go in these." He said to Saul, "I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took a staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistines. How many realize that God always uses weaker vessels to do greater things? What's the 1 Corinthians say? That God uses the weak things to shame the things that are strong. God uses things that we don't think will work. David was a teenager. He was not skilled at regular combat. He wasn't a soldier. He was just an ordinary teen that God had been preparing all his life for this special mission. Hudson Taylor, a missionary to China, says this. He says, "All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckon on his being with them." That tells me anyone in this room can be a giant in God's kingdom, could do amazingly miraculous things for God. But it also tells me in the process of doing those things, you're going to have a battle. How many are in a battle right now? Pretty much every hand should go up. Israel, and I was thinking about this, and this is the kind of the tangent I want to take today. Israel was supposed to be representing the one true God to the nations around them. That was God's plan for them. They were to live godly. All the nations were supposed to see that in them. They were supposed to see God's power, God's provision, all the things that God promised, and they were supposed to want that. They were supposed to be living proof of the power of the one true God over all the other false gods that were out there. But it's not happening here. Here we have the Philistines, and their god is Dagon. And it seemed like the Philistines and Dagon was beating the Israelites and the one true God. And not only does it seem like he's winning, other nations will see or will think that Israel had a false god, that their god wasn't the true God because the Philistines won and Dagon is their god. 1 Samuel 17:41, it says, "Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David." Now think about that. This guy, he's 9 feet tall. We talked about that last week. And not only is he 9 feet tall, he has a guy in front of him with a shield. So he thinks he's invincible. The giant does. Verse 42 says, "He looked over David and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. 'Come here,' he said, 'and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field.'" Now, all these things that were being said to David are possible outcomes, are they not? I mean, it looked like the giant could do exactly what he was saying he was going to do. It is possible that David could have been killed. And David went in knowing that. Whenever we have a spiritual conflict, and that's where we're getting to today, because I think there's a spiritual battle going on in here and in Christianity in general. When you have a spiritual battle going on, the enemy is always going to remind you of every possible negative outcome that could be possible with what you're going through. How many have experienced that? How many have felt that? Go to the doctor, you have a lump, and you instantly think it's cancer. You instantly think the worst of every situation. The enemy is quick to point out every possible negative outcome to you whenever the spiritual issue starts. David did not let those taunts and those threats deter him. They were all true. They all could have happened. But David knew whose God he served. And he knew that God was bigger than all the taunts that was coming his way. And he realized that this was not just a physical battle, but it was a spiritual battle and a fight for God's honor. He wanted God to be seen as the victor. Not him, not the Israelites. He wanted God to be vindicated in front of everyone. And this is the reason that David makes this comment in verse 45. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." How many have ever went into a hospital room and prayed in faith and told someone that God was going to heal them? Kind of a scary thing, isn't it? What if God says no? What if your faith isn't enough? Sometimes you feel that way going in. But if you're going in to honor God and to vindicate God and to show who God really is, that's the kind of faith you need to have. That God is going to get the victory, God's going to get the glory, and the enemy is going to run. The enemy will use various weapons to stop us from honoring and serving God. And many of them have real consequences to us. How many have been stopped from doing what God wants you to do? Or slowed down from what God wants you to do? Many of the things that happen to us are real, obviously, and they have consequences that the enemy uses to slow us down and to stop us if possible. The fight against the giant wasn't just a fight between two people. It was a spiritual battle that God wanted to teach the Israelites who their God really was and to show the Philistines whose God was right. And I thought about that, and it's familiar to us as Christians. We are supposed to be the standard bearer for who Jesus is. We're the ones that are supposed to walk out in the world and live a life and exhibit the power of God in a manner that everyone sees how we live, how God's working in our life, and they should see something in us that they want. Now, we don't always do that. Sometimes we act like Israelites and we look at the natural and we don't rely on the power of God and we do just what we think we should do in the natural rather than giving it to God. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." You know, a lot of times I think that when conflict comes our way or situations or negative things come our way, we forget that we really have a spiritual enemy. That our battle is not necessarily against someone. It's not necessarily against a physical problem. It's not necessarily against a job or whatever. It is a spiritual battle. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." How many of us are exhibiting or experiencing life to the full? Or are we cowering in fear because of what may be happening in our life at this particular moment? And we forget that last part. We look at only the natural, only what's in front of us, only what people have told us or we've experienced personally, rather than looking at the spiritual component and coming at it from that way.
John 16:33 says, I have told you these things. Man, it's going to be a good one. So that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. All this week, and we mentioned this on Wednesday night, I think that our church is under a spiritual battle, as I am right now. The enemy works through sound systems too, by the way. I thought about all the things that were happening in our church. We have had numerous unusual sicknesses. For those of you who don't know, Sue's cancer is back. It's mutated and it's aggressive, is what she told me. Robin, in and out of the hospital numerous times. Keith's sick for 2 weeks plus for some unknown thing that's going on in his body. Jeff Stow, been battling vertigo ever since he took over the youth group. Diane was in the hospital for 3 or 4 days, some weird pneumonia kind of thing going on. Marion, been praying for her for a long time. Paul's mom passed away last week. Rick's granddaughter passed away last week. Many things you don't know about. Some internal issues in the church, issue with the property, family issues, extreme discouragement, scheduling problems, all these things that affect ministries in this church. It's no coincidence all these things are happening. Every person that I have mentioned is involved in a ministry here. And when they don't show up for whatever reason, that class, that ministry doesn't take place, or it takes place less. Rick gave a powerful sermon 2 weeks ago, touched everyone's heart. Instantly, the enemy attacks him. Paul's going through Bible college. Anything to get you distracted from Bible college. Same with Keith. Sue was going to come back and do girls' ministry. Robin and Keith are in Rangers. Nanette and Keith are in Sunday school and worship. And I could go on. There's so much in this particular church, and probably in others too, that the enemy is thwarting or trying to thwart what God is doing. And the easiest way to do that is to get to the people. In Israel, God told them, if you do this, I will win. However, they were looking at the thing in the natural. We can't do this in the natural. And a lot of times we approach situations, even in our own lives, in the natural. What can we do physically? I can do this. I can go to the doctors. I can take meds. I can do all these things. And all those are good. But we need to look at it from the spiritual aspect that Israel was neglecting. You know, how many times have we said, God must be doing something great. God must have some great plan coming up. We've all said that. We all believe it. Well, you know what? I think it's time we need to go on the offense for that. We're always on the defense, praying for things as they come up. Israel was on the defense. They were not going to go in on the offense to win. David had to go in on the offense, and by doing that, he won. Now, I'm not a name it and claim it kind of guy. You know that. I'm not a word faith guy. But sometimes we need to speak truth to the situation. God had ridiculed, or Goliath had ridiculed and put down the God of Israel. He was letting the world see how impotent Israel's God was. And Israel was doing nothing to show them how powerful God was. That's what everyone was seeing. A God that wasn't doing anything. A God that had no power. Is basically how they felt and how Goliath was making everyone else see it. And David wanted to set the record straight. And he says in verse 46, he says, this day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Remember, that was exactly the thing that Goliath said to David. That I'm going to kill you and give your body to the birds. And David says, no, you're not. I'm going to do just the same to you. Verse 47 says, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. How many times do we walk either into work or into church? Woe is me. Devil's really beating me up this week. I'm so defeated. I don't know what's going on. Rather than saying, we're the winners. We have the God of the universe on our side. We are not defeated. We are not woe is me. We are victorious in Christ. We need to say and live like we are the winners. Matthew 16:18 says, now to you, Peter, I say that you, upon this rock, I will build my church. And what? The powers of hell will not conquer it. Whatever spiritual warfare is going on in our personal lives and in our church, the Bible says that God says nothing will defeat the church and whatever the church plans to do under God's anointing. If God plainly tells us that nothing can stop what he's doing through us as the church, then why do we act defeated? Goliath told him earlier what he was going to do, kill him and feed him. David responded to that, I'm going to use your threats against you. What you planned for me earlier is exactly what I'm going to do to you now. And to prove it, I'm not even going to use conventional weapons. I'm going to do it in such a way that there is no doubt that it was God who did it. I'm going to pick up a couple of stones and a sling, and I'm going to do it. I'm not going to respond to it in my human ways. I'm not going to do it with the suit of armor and the sword and the spear and everything else that everyone thinks I should do. I'm going to trust God that he's going to win the fight. He's going to win the battle. But to assure your victory means you have to fight. He didn't just sit there and say, God, beat the giant. God, you can do it. I'm going to sit here and watch you do it. No, he went in to fight. Verse 48 says, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. David didn't run from the fight. He took the fight to Goliath. And he did it quickly. He didn't wait for Goliath to come to him or to allow Goliath to get the upper hand. He ran towards the fight. When adversity comes our way, we can't waste time dwelling on it. We can't wait for all the negative things to start coming in. We need to go on the offense. We need to start right away trusting what God is going to do. Verse 49 says, reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. God uses people and abilities that we learned in the previous weeks, things that you have acquired over your lifetime. God uses those to accomplish great things. Being a great person with a slingshot is probably no big deal. And I'm sure that given any other situation, David could not have been that accurate. But he used what he had and trusted God to deliver it. Paul and Moses and everyone else said, you know, I can't talk very well. God says, I don't care. Just talk. I'll get the message across. David thought to himself, you know what? I'm not that great with a slingshot. But God, I'm going to trust you to deliver your message to the giant. And he did. I mean, he hit him right here in the forehead. Now, he had a helmet on. Remember, they had helmets and stuff, and he hit him right here in the middle. And he knocked him down. As a shepherd, he trusted God to help him with the flock. He learned to use his slingshot in order to protect the sheep. I'm sure he never thought he would be using that same slingshot to beat a giant. He learned to trust God through smaller crises and was confident that God would deliver him again. We've been using the example of for the loan and all the things God's provided for in the past. But the same thing applies to a spiritual aspect. If you look back in your life or in the life of this church, how has God worked supernaturally? What have we trusted God for in the past that he's come through with spiritually? Do we forget about that? Or do we say that same God over there can do the same thing right now? How many of you here are the product of someone praying for you to be saved? So if you are here as a result of someone's prayer, someone going to battle for you, how much more do we believe that God can do that again? That God can reach out and touch someone who is a hard heart, who's blinded, that God can save them. Do we take that as a spiritual challenge and go to battle for that person? Or do we think, well, that person's never going to get saved. They're just too hard. God can change them. How has God healed in the past? You've been healed by God in the past? Then God can do it again. Do we forget that? David remembered all the things he did growing up with his sheep, with a slingshot, and he trusted that God could use that again to win victory. Has God provided for you in the past? Has God provided for this church in the past? Absolutely. What makes you think he won't do it again? It's the same God. The Bible says, I don't change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he's been faithful in the small things, do you not believe he will be faithful in the big things? David didn't just throw the stone. He tossed it. God guided it. It took action on David's part for God to get the victory. And it takes action on our part for God to get the victory. We can't sit around waiting for God to work if we're not willing to take action now. And since it's a spiritual battle, we need to attack it on a spiritual level. And that means prayer. Amen? Serious time to pray. Now, I generally don't like to say things like this because I just don't like it. Back in my day, I remember Sunday night services being all about prayer. And I remember sometimes on Wednesday night being all about prayer and having prayer meetings for specific things during those times. That seems to have fallen out of favor lately. However, the devil has not stopped working. A lot of times we close with a quick closing prayer. Or we say, thanks, Lord. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. But sometimes we need to take serious time to pray for what God is doing and to prevent the enemy from working in our lives. And as a church, corporately, we need to pray for God's protection around us. I pray, put a hedge of protection around this church. Put a hedge of protection around each person in this church. Because what happens is he gets in, the enemy gets in and starts playing with people's lives, making them either sick or hurt or whatever the case might be. And he uses that to disrupt everything he's doing. And sometimes we let him do it. What had happened when David did just that? He trusted God. Verse 50 says, so David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. When we take the spiritual battle seriously, it's not just the devil. It is a serious issue, and we need to take time to pray in earnest over it. When we do that, we will see God working in a powerful way. If we are serious about doing that. Israel wasn't serious. They didn't trust God. They didn't take time to pray. They didn't consult anybody. They just looked at the situation and said, woe is me, we can't win. David says, not only is he insulting your God, he's letting everyone else see how impotent your God is. Take action. And when we do that, not only does God get the victory, but the enemy suffers a great defeat. Verse 51 says, David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from his scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. They were humiliated, the Philistines were. The enemy was humiliated. The devil was humiliated. Israel got the victory. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. And what happens? He will flee from you. David submitted to God, not just in the day of the battle, but his whole life was one of submission to what God wanted. He resisted and he fought the enemy, Goliath. And the enemy, or the enemies, the Philistines, fled. A year or so ago, we celebrated our 75th. Woohoo! Pat on the back. Why are we here? Why is Dover Assembly here? Our mission, our goal is to reach this community as much as we can with the gospel of Christ. Amen? We are not a bless me club. We are not coming in to get what we want. We are coming in to do God's work and so that people in the area see the power of God in operation in this church. Whether it's through healing or salvation, people need to see that God's presence is here, not just because we say it is, but because things happen that totally blow people's minds of what God is doing. You go to any growing church, and you will see things just like that happening. Any missionary effort on the foreign field, you'll see miracles and healings all day long because they need to show the townspeople that God is real. And I don't think it's any different here than it is there, because this nation is just as wicked as any other nation out there. And they need to see, the people need to see that we're not worshiping a God that has no power, but a God who has the power. The Holy Spirit is here to do tremendous works. We're here to reach people and disciple people, and we can't do that if the enemy's winning in our camp. The enemy has been attacking every avenue in here. Every ministry, worship, rangers, missionettes, youth, girls ministry, sorry. Children, we got a VBS coming up. We need enough people to man that ministry to reach people, reach this community with the gospel of Christ. Amen? We want to reach out. We don't want to reach in. And we need people to do that. And that means, and when I pray, you may not like this, but I'm praying. God, please change people's schedules. And change them. Because we're all busy. We all got things going on. But we need God to step in and do something miraculous so that everyone's available. Everyone can be used for the power of God. No one's sick. No one's got to work. No one's got all these things come into play. And God can heal every one of them. Amen? God can change every one of them. That means we go on the offense. And we do spiritual battle. And when we do, God gets a victory. Amen? God will, or the enemy will do anything in your life to slow you down, get your mind focused on something else, and allow every other thing in the world to become more important than what God's doing. And they aren't, not that these aren't bad things, they're important things. But they're also spiritually motivated. If God can get your attention through a sickness or whatever, then he's got your attention. But I believe that God, the Bible says, God's the one who heals us. Amen? God can defeat that in a second. God can change schedules. God can, he stopped the sun. He made it go back 10 degrees. If he can do that, he can change my personal schedule. And once we understand that, David understood that it was a spiritual issue and that God's name was on the line. We want the community to see that our God has the power. Our God is powerful and mighty to save, as the song says, right? God is mighty to save. God is not just something that's way out there and we put on Sunday morning, but God has the power to change situations every day. And we want the word to get out in the community that, man, something's going on here. Something supernatural is going on in this facility that's changing people's lives. And when we step out, there's going to be a fight. But we run to the fight, and God goes before us, and he gets us the victory. Amen? I'm going to ask the team to come up if they would. I know they weren't ready for this. I know. But do the last one, Forever Rain. Because in that song, the lyrics of that song, I want us to focus on, we have the ability. We're God's people. We have the anointing if we pray for it. We believe that God has us on his team. And we have the ability to do awesome things for God. All we have to be is available. Amen? Would you stand as we close and worship for this? Freedom in this place this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
I know a lot of you are going through situations that are really hard right now. And I know the enemy's got a foothold in your life. But our God's more than able to give you the victory over that. This church is on the verge of doing something great for God, and the enemy is really infiltrated and try to stop everything we're doing. That's why I believe it's not just a coincidence, but it's a spiritual battle. And what I want to do is I want to take some time. It's a little bit early. We still got about 10 minutes before noon. I want each one of us to come up front, just take some time up front and pray that God puts a hedge of protection around this church, that God vindicates, that God heals, that God provides everything that we want to do under God's leadership. We want God to do. And that means we have to take time as a unit, as a church, to pray that God gets the victory. Daniel prayed for 3 weeks, and during that entire three-week session, angels were doing battle to stop what God was sending. God was sending an angel to help him. And it took 3 weeks of concerted prayer on Daniel's part before the angel got the victory. One prayer, while it's good, is not enough. We have to be constantly on our guard, constantly praying for God's blessing, God's anointing, God's protection, because this is not our church. This is not ours. This is God's church. And we want it to matter that we're here. We want it to make a difference in this township that we are here. And the enemy is doing everything he can to make sure that does not happen. So I'm going to ask each one of us to come forward, just take some time, about 5 minutes. Just pray for God's protection, God's provision, God's direction on everything. If you would come now. Hallelujah. 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 The Bible says there is power in prayer, and there's power in numbers of prayer. And Father, we thank you for each one of us who have committed to realizing the spiritual battle we are in and taking the necessary steps in prayer to assure you the victory. Father, David went out proclaiming victory in your name, saying what he was already assured was going to happen before it even did. So, Father, we do the same thing this morning. We are assuring us victory in what you are going to do. That this church is going to prosper. That this church is going to be what you have called us to be. We're no longer going to be sitting back taking it, but we are going to run into the battle. We're going to run into this community in the name of Jesus. And we're going to defeat the enemy on every front. Because we have a God who is more powerful, who is all-powerful, who is able to do anything and everything without any problem or tire or sweat. So, Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. When we come in the name of Jesus and we pray a hedge of protection around this church, you put a hedge of protection around each one in this church. That God, you would protect us from sickness, protect us from hardship, protect us from trial, protect us from discouragement, protect us from things that keep us back. We don't cower in fear. We don't cower believing what people say. But we stand forth in the name of God Almighty, who is able to get their victory, who's already got their victory, and who said the gates of hell will not prevail against this church. And we will reach and we will allow you to work through us to save people in this area. We will not let anything deter us in that. And we believe that, God, you will prepare the way even before we go, that you will open doors, give us divine appointments, allow us to get into this area. We don't stay here, Lord. We don't not come they, go us, Lord. Go ye into this area. Help us to do that. Help us to be able to reach people with the love and the power of Christ. That is why we're here. And Father, we believe that your anointing and power is here to do that. And we want to tap into that this morning in the name of Jesus. We don't come with our own abilities. We don't come with our own talents and power. We are weak vessels.
And we just come in the name of Jesus. And we believe that, God, you will get the victory as we go forth as weak vessels in your name. Father, thank you for what you're doing this morning. And Lord, we believe that you will continue that on, and we believe that tremendous things will happen. Let this township see that we don't serve a dead God, that we don't serve a God who does nothing, but we serve a God who is able to do more and abundantly than we can ask or think. That tremendous things will happen, blessings will happen, provision will be seen, people will see what God is doing in our midst, and they will want what we have. Father, we are your church. It's not this building, it's us. We are your church. And the enemy will not prevail against us. Send us out forth under your anointing and your power and your protection and your guidance, and allow us to defeat any enemy that comes in our way, and let the name of God be glorified everywhere we go. And the enemy, when he sees that, will flee. Father, we commit ourselves to you. We are your servants. We are your church. We need your anointing. We need your blessing. We need your spirit every day. Fill us, Lord. Fill us to overflowing. Allow us to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Help us to have holy boldness. Help us to accomplish great things in the name of God. Your word is our sword. You are our shield. You're our fortress. Everything we have and are able to do is because of you. Use us, each one of us as individuals, with the talents and abilities that each of us have as individuals that you've given us. Don't let us think that they're not of consequence. But everything we have and are, you can turn around and use to reach someone. So, Father, we pray your blessing upon us as we leave. We leave in victory. We have not lost. We are not losing. We are going out in victory because God is our victor. We come at the enemy in the name of the Lord God Almighty. And we know before we leave this place that we have already beaten him in Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our midst. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We want to translate that into action for the future. And we commit ourselves to you. And we do it in the name of Jesus for his glory. And everyone shouted in victory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Is God good? Amen. Is God true? Better. Is God true? Amen. Then we are assured that it's going to work. Amen.